Well, Nancy, thanks very much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
How long have you been working with the Wildlife Center?
I started about 1982. I started with a small kind of facility to start with, and it kind of grew to what it is today.
Why did you start something like this?
It's something that I always wanted to do when I was a kid. I was the neighborhood person that little birds were brought to or squirrels that were hit by cars and things like that. It's always been a passion of mine. And so all my gearing going to college and doing what I did with that was to further that goal.
Who is Pauline?
Pauline was my grandmother.
Oh.
She passed away quite a few years back, and I went nonprofit then and made the foundation into her name. She was always a big animal lover. I remember going down a couple of times and helping her with local garden parties and neighborhood clubs and all of that, and it was usually a wildlife presentation of some sort. So she kind of helped inspire that enthusiasm, and she also, when she passed away, left me money to purchase, actually build a classroom and make a flight cage for our raptors. And so she was a great supporter in many ways.
Talk about exactly what it is you guys do there in Silt.
We take in injured and orphaned wildlife, and you have to be licensed per species type thing. So we're licensed for every species of wildlife, including threatened and endangered species and migratory birds. And we treat them, do whatever's necessary. We have a veterinarian on staff, and he does all the surgeries for us. And then I do the physical therapies, and eventually we return them back to the wild.
Do all of them go back to the wild?
Not all. The way the laws are is they have to be raised to be released. If they can't be released, they have to be euthanized. So I'd say, you know, we're between 80 and 85% do get released. Especially this year, there were a lot of ducks and geese, babies, and they're easy to take care of. So hardly anything ever happens to them before they get released.
So if they're not returned to the wild, they have to be killed?
Yes. Yes, that is the law that CPW has put out there. Nothing can be kept in captivity that came from the wild anymore.
But you have some animals there.
Yeah, that was a long time ago when we got them, and they're all like, you know, 12 to 14 years old now, so we won't be replacing them. They did say that we could feel free to purchase one from a breeder of, but we all feel here that we wouldn't ever do that because it's propagating wildlife in captivity, and to spend money on it, and that's just not up our alley, I guess.
If somebody brings in, say, a mountain lion kitten, what happens then? What happens to, like, a mountain lion kitten?
Well, we had four mountain lions from this last year. They were all released a couple of months ago, and they're doing fine near as we know. They're all microchipped and then ear tagged, so that if they are seen, at least it's reported that they're there, and, you know, they kind of can keep track of how they're doing. So we got the kittens. One was hit by a car. One, the mother was supposedly hit by a car. And I can't remember the other two. Oh, they were from under a house up in Steamboat. And we, you know, raise them up. They, you know, learn to be kittens. And then they eventually fight each other over food and things like that. And eventually when they're, you know, 9 to 10 months old, they're ready to be out on their own.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know there was a state law that you had to kill any animal that you didn't return to the wild.
It's hard to have to do, but we have to live within the confines of the laws and the rules we have, or the state can shut us down. So that's why we work really, really, really hard at making sure that what we have gets a chance to be released.
What mistakes do human beings make with wildlife that you see the most?
It's kind of hard to say. I would say one of the hardest things that I found out because I just got back from Alaska, finding out that, you know, some bears up in Aspen, there was a mother with her two cubs up a tree, and the Division of Wildlife had cordoned them off in hopes that they would come down and were keeping people away. And the mom did eventually come down, and the two cubs started down, I guess, and then some people just all sort of mobbed the group, and the mom took off the opposite direction of her babies. And eventually she came back, but still people were in their way trying to get pictures, doing videos, all sorts of stuff. Mom and the cubs went back up a tree. So the Division of Wildlife ended up having to tranquilize them and relocate them, which meant then they got their first ear tag. And they only get one ear tag. If they get caught again, they'll be euthanized. So that's what people don't understand. Once I get an ear tag, they're done for the next time they show up and do anything. So I think it's just trying to understand that they need to leave the wildlife alone to do their own thing, and that mom would have tooled off with her two little kids and still be a happy mom. Instead, she's in a totally foreign location with her two cubs and some new ear tags in her.
How do you get the animals that you work with?
So the majority of our animals do come through individuals. Just about every day somebody has something that they've found that's either injured or, you know, orphaned. We try to, like with fawns, we have the people leave them there for 24 hours, and if they're still there, then maybe they need rescuing. So that's probably just public relations on trying to have people be responsible about the wildlife. And then most of our bears and mountain lions come through CPW, and even though they bring them to us, they do not pay us to take care of them. So we're a, you know, total nonprofit, which is why we're doing this. And I'm an unpaid executive director. I do teach, and the money that I get for teaching classes here at our classroom all goes straight to the animals. So we only have one three-quarter time paid employee.
Well, one last question. KDNK is in the midst of its fall membership drive, and I'm wondering if you could talk just a little bit about how public radio helps the community.
No problem. You know, public radio is great. You get to find out what's going on in your neighborhood and your area, and I got to find out more about issues they've been having with bear problems up in the Carbondale area as to what was town of Carbondale and Woods County, and, you know, all that comes from the radio, and I do listen to it every morning, so I do like the public radio, and we're big supporters of public radio and public television.
Well, Nancy Limbach of the Pauline Schnegges Wildlife Center in Silt, thanks very much for your work, and thanks for taking some time to talk with me.
You're welcome.